I doubt this will come as news to anyone that this coming Thursday is Thanksgiving Day. And Thursday night, families from all over the United States will be getting together for a great feast. Of course, not every being will be hugely pleased. I still recall perhaps my favorite Interlandi editorial cartoon from Thanksgiving Day in the late 70s or early 80s. It featured a rather unhappy turkey staring out into the world with a banner draped across its breast. The banner read, "Have a nice day." But despite the fact that we called it that when I was a kid, this coming Thursday is not Turkey Day, but rather Thanksgiving Day. Our small but wonderful choir just sang, "Come ye thankful people, come," and called on us all to be thankful. But what is it that we are called to be thankful for? One of the things that has become clearer and clearer to me as I continue to look at our diverse spiritual paths is an unsettling truth. The more often something appears as a dictum in our spiritual paths, the less likely it is that we do it. In part, this makes sense. I mean, if we're already doing something, why would Scripture take the time to say, "You need to do this"? And much of the time, I don't think our not doing something, in this case, our reluctance to embrace gratitude as a spiritual practice, stems from orneriness or contrariness or some devil-inspired desire to thwart the sacred. Rather, I think at heart we humans tend to be, self-centered little beasties. We are so important. We build a Tower of Babel to stare God in the face. So the sacred speaks to us, cautions us, saying the same thing again and again across our spiritual traditions. And most of the time, it's some version of, "We need to think beyond our own selves." An example of this that we are all familiar with here is the Golden Rule, which, as we all know, appears in every spiritual path on every continent throughout time. Over and over, the sacred tells us in one way or another, treat others as you would be treated. Or in my favorite version, which comes from the Yoruba in Nigeria, if you're about to poke a small bird with a sharp stick, first poke yourself and see what it feels like. And somehow I don't think this repetition is because the sacred, having been around for a while, somehow forgot. Oh yeah, I already told them that just a few centuries ago. I think it's more like, okay, I told them that a few centuries ago and they still haven't gotten it. So we'll try again. The call to be grateful is almost as ubiquitous as the Golden Rule. Just a few examples from the Hindu path. When a man is born, whoever he may be, there is born simultaneously a debt to the gods, to the sages, to the ancestors, and to men. From the Jewish path, Abraham caused God's name to be mentioned by all the travelers whom he entertained. For after they had eaten and drunk, and when they arose to bless Abraham, he said to them, "Is it of mine that you have eaten? Surely it is of what belongs to God that you have eaten, so praise and bless him, by whose word the world was created." From the Christian path, a bit sterner perhaps, ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived by the things that have been made. So they are without excuse, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. And lastest but not leastest, from the Buddhist path, you, the world-honored one, are a great benefactor. No one will be able to repay your favors, even if he tries to do it for many hundreds of millions of kalpas. No one will be able to repay your favors, even if he bows to you respectfully and offers you his hands or feet or anything else. All of these, and there are many more, are a reminder that humanity is not the pinnacle we like to think we are. There is something bigger out there than we are, and we should be grateful for what we have. So, if we aren't grateful, two things come to mind. Why aren't we grateful? And what does it matter? It's the second question that I'd like us to explore this morning. Why is gratitude so important? I can't help but believe that a large part of the reason is that if we are grateful for what we have, it becomes harder to be arrogant about it. If we are grateful for what we have, it is harder to feel entitled. I got all of this because I'm great, and you didn't, so clearly you're not. When I was younger, I used to get annoyed with the idea that we're supposed to praise God. I mean, really. Is God's self-esteem so puny that unless we're constantly praising God, God will have a hissy fit? Over the years, I have come to understand that it isn't that God has such a low self-esteem. It is that humanity has such an inflated self-esteem. As I pondered this, it seemed to me that what makes gratitude important is humility. The humility of gratitude. This is indeed something important enough to keep mentioning over and over in all of our spiritual paths. And I think the humility of gratitude brings something else of importance with it. The willingness to share. This is what gives Thanksgiving its sacred cloak. Yes, gathering in our homes with family is a wonderful and important thing to do. And heaven knows most of us don't do it as often as we used to. And reconnecting with our family is so important, as well as beautiful. Yet commercialism can once again rear its head, and the temptation can be to get caught up in the mechanics of the Thanksgiving meal. Channel surfing just the other day, I found within a few clicks of each other 10 things to make your Thanksgiving a success. And then 7 appetizers to make you the envy of all your friends. Interestingly, neither list included thanks. And I wondered if an appetizer of gratitude, might make a positive addition to our Thanksgiving meal. So this morning, I wondered if perhaps we could come up with our own lists, a list of things that we are grateful for. Some paper is about to be handed out, and if you need them, some pens. Please do return the pens. Every pen I own is being distributed. If when you're done, you will return them, I will indeed be grateful. if you'll come along with me then. What I'm going to ask us is to take some time to ponder. Take some time quietly to ponder what we are truly grateful for. Then we'll take the time to write down some of those things. After that, I'd ask us, I think two groups should do it, to make two small circles with our chairs, forming two groups, and share with each other what we are grateful for. And then we'll gather in one circle for our closing song and benediction. So let's just take some time. What is it that we are grateful for? As a reminder for me, I was visiting a friend just the other day, 95 years old, wonderful person. She can no longer see. And it made me realize that I take my sight for granted, and made me realize how grateful I am that I do have eyes, that I can see. So let's take some time. What are we grateful for? Let's take a breath. Close our eyes if we're inclined, and ponder gratitude. Who and what am I truly grateful for? Amen.